The next case to be heard is 2017-921, Groveport, Madison, Board of Education versus Franklin County Board of Revision. For the appellant, Mr. Ray.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Nicholas Ray, and I represent the appellant, Sears. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. This case concerns the valuation of an almost 570,000 square foot warehouse in Groveport, Ohio. The warehouse was constructed in 1982 and was over 30 years old on the tax lien date. The property was owner-occupied. The property owner initiated the 2014 complaint, and at the Board of Revision presented the self-contained appraisal report of Mr. Rasek, who performed a detailed and thorough sales comparison and income approach to value and opined to a value of $11,200,000. This report conforms in all material respects with what you would expect an appraisal report to be. At the BOR hearing, the BOE presented the report and testimony of Mr. Kuhn. Mr. Kuhn had originally attempted to mark his report as a restricted use appraisal report, but as noted on page 91 of the supplement, later changed that to a consulting report in order to comply with his own professional standards. Mr. Kuhn did not arrive at an opinion of value, but rather a review of the value requested in the original complaint. The BOR had the benefit of both reports and testimony and voted to accept the only appraisal in the record as the indication of value. The BOE appealed that decision to the Board of Tax Appeals, and as the appellant had the burden to rebut the BOR's decision. The BOE presented no additional evidence, and the parties waived the hearing before the BTA. The BTA, Your Honor, erred as a matter of law in holding that the BOE had met this burden. The BTA acknowledged on pages 2 and 3 of its report that the record, including in the BTA's own words, what it believed to be potentially material testimony, was missing. Furthermore, the BTA utilizes the Kuhn report as if it was an appraisal. It's not an appraisal, and it had already been rejected by the BOR. There are some very important aspects of this Kuhn report that the court needs to focus on. First and foremost is that it's Mr. Kuhn's own statement makes clear the lack of reliability of this report. On the very first page of the report addressed to the BOE, Mr. Kuhn states, "It is our understanding that this abbreviated report has been requested based upon your needs, and it's intended to aid you in the decisions regarding the appropriateness of the reduction in value sought by the taxpayers in the above referenced case. Use of this report is hereby restricted to you, as its brevity could be misleading to another without the support of additional information contained in our work file." Additional information that was never provided in this case. As noted, Your Honor, this is not an appraisal, but it's rather a review of the complaint filed by the property owner at a value that was later adjusted upwards by over $500,000 at the BOR hearing. This analysis was never updated after the request was modified. The BTA, again, in citing to this as if it was an appraisal report, cites with favor an expense comparable chart provided by Mr. Kuhn. But this too fails the standard for reliability. The chart fails to indicate the location, age, configuration, or other information necessary to evaluate the data provided. Information that likely would have been provided had Mr. Kuhn actually prepared an appraisal report. These expense comparables range from 52 cents per square foot to $1.36 per square foot, and Mr. Kuhn somehow opines to 50 cents, lower than all of the comparables provided, a result that only can be arrived at by cherry-picking different expense items to arrive at the lowest possible number. By contrast, Your Honor, Mr. Rasek completed an appraisal report and opined to an opinion of value, a report that was accepted by the Board of Revision. His sales comparison approach for an owner-occupied property is 18 pages long. There are multiple page reviews of each comparable, along with detailed analysis of each items of comparability, both in grid format and in written format.
You would agree as a general matter that if there is any kind of a report by an expert, that the BTA at least it's competent for the BTA to consider in determining a value for the property.
Your Honor, I think there's a question of admissibility versus reliability. While certainly the school board can proffer anything they wish and provide that they wish, and Mr. Kuhn was there at the Board of Revision, the report has to be considered for what it is. It's not an appraisal. Mr. Kuhn's not opining to an opinion of value, and his own indication is that it could be misleading without additional information that was never provided.
But if it's competent to be presented and considered, then the question is what legal principle can be identified in this case that's the basis for the court vacating or reversing the decision?
Your Honor, this court made clear in Polaris Amphitheater that it will not let stand a decision of the Board of Tax Appeals which is not supported by the record or is contradicted by the record. And a review of the information in this case, even if you look at the Kuhn appraisal report and consider it, would indicate that because Mr. Kuhn was not appraising the property, he did not go to the level of detail and analysis necessary. His own admission is that it's potentially misleading, and he informs the school board right after that quote that I had, which is, you know, you should get a full appraisal report, and the school board elected not to do so. So we're left with information to consider, but we have to weigh that evidence, and we have to determine under Polaris whether or not the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals is supported by the record, and it is not in this case. Mr. Rasek's sales comparison approach for an owner-occupied property, again, went into detail about the adjustments that were made and the comparables. His income approach includes 10 comparable rentals and historic vacancy numbers for the submarket, which were at 13.1% in the first quarter of 14 and rose to 21.3% by January of 16. Mr. Rasek also notes on page 46 of his appraisal report that these 24 comparable properties that were used included newer properties with higher ceiling heights, and that impact the 30-year-old property that was the subject of this appraisal, resulting in higher vacancy for purposes of the appraisal. This is something the BTA failed to consider, and again, Mr. Kuhn ignored because he wasn't doing an appraisal report. He was evaluating a complaint that had been filed as a consulting memorandum for the Board of Education. Mr. Rasek, after determining that the property would be leased on a triple net basis, focused his expense analysis on those expenses that would be borne by the school district. Borne by the property owner, management fees, and reserve for replacement. Your Honor is well aware the three nets in a triple net lease are real estate taxes, property insurance, and routine maintenance. The landlord's expense to manage the property is an expense of the landlord and not a pass-through expense, although Mr. Kuhn mistakenly includes it as such, and the BTA erred in doing so as well. Both appraisers provide a reserve for replacement, again, that varied dramatically between the two. However, a close review of the analysis indicates that the person who was actually appraising the property took into consideration what was going on with the property. Mr. Rasek on page 47 of his report and Mr. Kuhn on page 19 detail the expense items that are included in this reserve. Only Mr. Rasek accounts for the fact that the owner-occupant is vacating the property and leasing commissions are going to be required by the owner to lease the property. Mr. Kuhn fails to account for this expense, but again, he's not appraising the property. He's preparing a consulting memorandum evaluating a value on a complaint form. The errors of the BTA are so numerous and significant that they rise to the level of reversible error. To be sure, Your Honor, we are not asking this court, contrary to the BOE's assertion, to act as a super BTA. As I noted, as the court said in Polaris Amphitheater, the court is required to reverse the decision of the BTA if the record does not support or if it contradicts the BTA's findings. Such is the case here. The BTA ignores RASIC's sales comparison approach, which is extremely important for an owner-occupied property. The reasons given by the BTA in sum, in total, are the range of adjusted sales varies by $20. It's unclear what aspects of each property he felt were important and which properties were most similar to the subject and how much weight to be given to each. That is the entirety of the analysis from the BTA as it relates to Mr. Rasik's 18-page sales comparison approach. These comments do not go deeper because they do not stand up to scrutiny. The range of the comparables that exist in this case, Your Honor, in order are $25.37, $13, $7.71, $26.81, 2018, 1174, and 1731. After adjustment, Mr. Rasik concludes to a value of $20 per square foot, clearly within the range of comparables. The unadjusted range of the comparables falls within a reasonable range where Mr. Rasik could adjust them to determine a value for the subject property. As you would expect, higher sales overall were adjusted downward. Lower sales overall were adjusted upward, but it's clear from the three pages of analysis provided by Mr. Rasik that each of the six items of comparability were considered. In some cases, those items were a positive, in some cases, they were a negative, and Mr. Rasik arrived at an overall conclusion for each property that, again, he supported in a grid format. And he supported with two pages of written analysis about why he was making the adjustments. The summary comment by the BTA does not stand up to scrutiny. Also, Your Honor, it's important to note that the Kuhn Consulting Report, again, which was designed to consider a range of reasonableness, on page 21 indicates that this range includes $20 per square foot. The number that Mr. Rasik, albeit at the bottom end of the range of Mr. Kuhn's report, arrived at in his opinion of value. Again, the BTA also errs by ignoring the only appraisal in the record as it relates to vacancy and credit loss. As I noted with the chart that the BTA cites with favor for Mr. Rasik's appraisal, Mr. Rasik's own report indicates that these 24 properties includes newer properties with higher roof heights that, again, would result in a larger vacancy challenge in the market for the subject property. Nowhere does the BTA consider this fact, and again, Mr. Kuhn, who's not appraising the property, doesn't get into that level of detail. The BTA must support factual determinations based upon the facts in the record, and it has failed to do so. As noted, the BTA also failed to consider the current condition of the property in arriving at a reserve for replacement and utilized a pass-through of management fees when such are not included in a typical triple net lease. All of these errors compound, overinflate the value by the BTA, a value that ignores the RASIC sales comparison approach, which was properly supported in the record. The result is a decision that cannot be supported by the record. In summary, the BOE as the appellant before the BTA had a burden to overcome. Attempting to rely upon a consulting memorandum, which the report itself indicates is potentially misleading and that had already been rejected by the BOR, was not sufficient to meet this burden. The BTA's reliance upon this information is reversible error and, as noted previously, is contrary to the record in this case. As the court noted in Polaris, it's required to reverse the decision of the BTA if it's contrary to the record, and this decision is. The only reliable evidence of value in the record is the same evidence accepted by the Board of Revision and reaching a value of $11,200,000. We ask this court to reverse the BTA and to fine for the value established by the BOR. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Ms. Fox.
Thank you. If it pleases the court, as in the case just heard, again, this court is being asked by the appellant to step into the shoes of the Board of Tax Appeals and make its own factual findings contrary to those made by the finder of fact, the Board of Tax Appeals, in this case. Again, the Board of Tax Appeals case must be affirmed absent of showing that it abused its discretion, meaning that its decision was unreasonable, arbitrary, or unconscionable. When it reviewed the appraisal report, the BTA was vested with wide discretion to determine the weight to be given the evidence and the credibility of the witnesses. The BTA was not required to adopt either of the reports, and in this case, the BTA did not adopt either of the reports. Instead, the BTA determined that both of the reports had problems that were too large to be completely reliable, and so the Board of Tax Appeals did what this court has requested it do on numerous occasions. It looked to what evidence it did determine to be reliable, and it exercised its judgment and made an independent determination of value. There are no legal issues in this case. These are all factual issues. Everything that was just argued to this court was a factual issue. Mr. Kuhn's report, despite what it is called, was an appraisal. On page 4 of his report, it lists the appraisal problem. The assignment is to appraise a distribution warehouse. On page 5, it says, since the purpose of this appraisal is to provide an opinion of the market value of the subject, an analysis of the neighborhood must be conducted. Turning back in its page 15, in this appraisal, the income capitalization and sales comparison approaches to value have been utilized. And looking further back in the report, on page 20, there is a value conclusion via the income capitalization approach. There is a range there only because Mr. Kuhn determined that there could be a range for the capitalization rate. So he made two calculations there and came up with a range, which is not uncommon in appraisal reports.
Since you've emphasized his use of the word appraisal, what is the meaning of the term consulting report?
For purposes of USPAP or the appraisers, I could not honestly tell you the definition of that. I think it does go to the amount of additional supporting data that may or may not be contained within the report, but I would be speculating as to what the exact and precise difference is. What I would like to point out to the court, however, is that this is the exact same type report that was used by the property owner in the Albany Commons case that was referenced and discussed in our brief. And the Board of Education raised the exact same arguments that appellant raises here against that appraisal report, and this court made it very clear that that report was sufficient and that it was not unlawful for the Board of Tax Appeals to rely upon that report. And in fact, in Albany Commons, they did rely on that report. That report was the number that the Board of Tax Appeals used as their decision. In this case, the Board of Tax Appeals did not use Mr. Kuhn's valuation as its decision, as the basis for its decision, or the value would have been significantly higher. In fact, they didn't use Mr. Kuhn's or Mr. Rasek's reports. They found them both to be insufficient. So they looked to the underlying data, the data that was contained within the reports, pulled out data that they found was most reliable to value this property, and offered a very detailed explanation as to how they arrived at their value. I mean, you know, Mr. Ray, with all due respect to Mr. Ray, he complains that they didn't go into enough detail as to why they rejected the sales approach in Mr. Rasek's report. I think they went into some pretty good explanation. They offered several reasons as to why they rejected that, just like they offered reasons as to why they rejected things in Mr. Kuhn's report. They went through a lot of detail in this decision, and they explained every step of the way about how they chose their rent, how they chose their vacancy, and what specific detail or analysis or data they relied upon to come up with their vacancy rate. They found Kuhn's expenses. I mean, again, maybe this report by Mr. Kuhn did not have as extensive supporting data as a full self-contained appraisal would have, but the BTA still found his expenses to be better supported than Mr. Rasek's full self-contained appraisal report was. So it goes to the amount of supporting information that's contained within the report is the difference here. And again, this isn't a case where the BTA relied on Mr. Kuhn's report for their decision. They relied upon information that was contained therein. They relied, just as they relied upon information that was contained in Mr. Rasek's report, to come up with their own value. I would also like to make it clear with respect to, because the admissibility issue was raised, there was never an objection raised at any point in this case as to the admissibility of Mr. Kuhn's report. And with respect to, again, although I do not believe any legal issues have been raised in this case, that this is strictly a factual case, I do feel it's important for the court to understand, because I got to tell you, I'm as perplexed as probably appellant is by the language in the decision where the BTA speculated that maybe there was testimony missing. That is absolutely not the case here. Unlike the Kanata case and unlike the Arbors East case, this record was complete. The full testimony of both appraisers and the full cross-examination of both appraisers exists in the record in this case, as do all of the documents that were submitted to the Board of Revision. There was nothing missing here. I think that the BTA may have been confused because counsel for the Board of Education at the BOR hearing during cross-examination made reference to the fact that sales used by Mr. Rasek in this case were the same or similar to sales that he had used in another case that had been heard that day. And so counsel opted to not go into full cross-examination with regard specifically to those sales. That's it. That is the only even slight reference or comment or anything that would give you an idea that there was anything discussed that day that should belong in this case. Again, that doesn't mean something's missing. That just means counsel chose to shorten her cross-examination of Mr. Rasek. That certainly did not prejudice appellant in any way. If anyone was going to be prejudiced by that, it would be the Board of Education. There is no indication that counsel for the owner in any way shortened his cross-examination of Mr. Kuhn, and there, again, was no reference to testimony from another case that should have been included. There was no reference that anything should have been incorporated. There was nothing in this record that indicates the record was not complete.
Isn't the BTA expressing a concern that the Board of Revision may have actually been taking into account testimony in this other case?
Well, I don't know, because the Board of Revision did not indicate that at all in its decision. And if the Board of Tax Appeals is going to assume that, it seems to me there should be some basis for it. But again, I listened again several times to both the hearing record and the decision, and I did not hear any indication by the Board of Revision that it was relying upon testimony from another case. I would also like to point out that, you know, it's not unusual for testimony at a Board of Revision to be shorter than it is at the Board of Tax Appeals. There are just time constraints there. But again, both appraisers fully discussed their reports. Both were fully cross-examined. Both parties here made a tactical decision to go forward on the record. Both parties took the risk that there was or was not sufficient testimony at the Board of Revision to support its claim at the Board of Tax Appeals. And quite frankly, both parties paid that price because neither of us got the value that we requested. Neither of us got what we wanted at the Board of Tax Appeals, and maybe that's because we waived the hearing and we didn't bring the appraisers back in. So the bottom line is, That's just the way it is. That was a decision that was made. That doesn't constitute legal error. And for the appellant to somehow argue, which it did in its brief, that the Board of Tax Appeals somehow had some duty to inform us that we had failed to meet our burdens of proof, so maybe we should come in and have a hearing, is of course absurd. The Board of Tax Appeals had no duty to do that. So again, we would just like to point out everything that was presented to the Board of Revision was included in the transcript in this case. With respect to Mr. Kuhn's report, again, it was not improper for the Board of Tax Appeals to rely upon data and information contained in Mr. Kuhn's report. And it was an expert report prepared by an expert appraiser. He was there, he appeared, he testified, he inspected this property, he had access to it, but before he opined, his opinion was a range and not a specific number. The appellant is troubled by that, but again, the Board of Tax Appeals did not set forth its decision based upon Mr. Kuhn's opinion of value. It used information contained within his report, just as it did within Mr. Rasek's, to independently determine value, which is well supported both in the record and in its very extensive, detailed, thorough decision. Because of all of this, we are requesting that this board affirm the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals and not step into its shoes and act as a super BTA and make different factual findings than the Board of Tax Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fox. Mr. Ray, you've reserved 28 seconds, but you may take a minute. And let me ask you as you come up to the podium, what about this question of the potential absence of material testimony? How significant is that in your appeal?
Well, I think, Your Honor, it's significant to the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Tax Appeals went to lengths to actually acknowledge it in multiple occasions that it felt like it was missing something in the record, and something that it classified as a potentially material testimony. Again, as a finder of fact and evaluating the reports before it, the appraisal and the consulting memorandum, if the board felt like it was missing material testimony, it needed to do something, and it didn't in this case.
Do you agree with counsel that the BTA certified, that the BOR certified everything that the statute required it to certify, which makes it unlike some of the other cases?
Your Honor, I'm sorry, I don't have an exact opinion on that. I did not attend the BOR hearing. The individual who did attend the BOR hearing is not with us. So I don't have insight into the person who was at the BOR to be able to answer that question. Your Honor, what we're asking for is findings of fact that are actually supported by the record. We agree and disagree with counsel on multiple points. Certainly, we agree that compared to other decisions of the Board of Tax Appeals, they did go through an analysis of how they were making those adjustments. That is good from the standpoint of at least we have insight into what they were doing. It's bad from the insight that it's not supported by the record. This consulting report doesn't provide the information necessary to support it. It doesn't consider the condition of the property, both as it relates to the need to release it and the lower ceilings. And as a result, the decision is not supported. Polaris Amphitheater requires this court to reverse. There is sufficient information in the record. It's the BOR. They didn't overcome the BOR. This court should fine for $11,200,000.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.